Hi, I'm Sean from statetoplay.com, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
I'm David, a.k.a. Vavictus X.
Hey, and I'm Trey, a.k.a. Astrakhan.
Guys, where are we?
And this is the 104th episode of the only Neverwinter Nights community podcast.
Hey, the podcast all about Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. And tonight, later in the show, we're going to have Sean from Say to Play with us.
We are also streaming live and have a live audience in the NWN Podcast IRC channel. So if you have questions as we record, please type them in the IRC room.
But we're not going to pay attention to you till after the news. So before we visit with Sean, let's do a little news.
Well, hey, before we do that, let's welcome David, a.k.a. Vivictus, back to the show. He's our newest host.
Welcome, David.
Thank you. I'm here.
So did you have fun in the first one you did?
Oh, in the episode, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. In the first episode that you did?
I've been having a good time since I started, so everybody's been real nice.
David also had his first experience sitting in an interview.
Yeah, I was really tired, though.
Yeah. He pretty much lurked. Icewind Dale.
Yeah, the one that you did last Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
He found out exactly how much I can make people babble.
It was interesting.
Those are fun. I like doing the interviews. Speaking of interviews, before we get to the interview, let's do some news.
News brought to you by GQ Tracker. Thank you, GQ. New content upload.
100 years have passed since the cataclysm struck, changing the world of Kryn forever. The people looked for someone to blame, thus the Knights of Salamnia took the brunt of it. The knighthood is barely holding on. Outposts throughout Kryn, once garrisoned by many, now hold only a handful of knights. An outpost just on the border of the cursed land of Nightland is one such outpost. A former knight of Salamnia, Lord Soth, now a death knight, has his eye on this outpost. What he has in store for it, only he knows.
Trey, you and I are both fired.
I think so. Because I'm looking at the next news item, and I'm going, oh, crap, how am I going to say that word?
Well, apparently there is a link of his other work also, which we will have in the show notes.
Yes.
Hey, also, some other new content that's been uploaded. A Thief in the Night, The Lich, Garrett. Does that sound right, Garrett? Has been defeated by a party of adventurers. Can you, a member of Garrett's cult, use your mind control powers to recover his
phylactery
from Kentberg?
Where his soul is stored.
Kentberg Manor, without your presence being detected.
Official worldwide D&D game day on May 23rd. Get ready once again to join D&D fans around the world for worldwide D&D game day. I didn't even know this existed.
Oh.
Monster Manual 2, mark your calendars and tell your friends. WWDDGDMM2 is coming.
And that's a long acronym.
Yeah, really. Fearsome foes, both old and new. We have a link to that, so go check it out.
That'll be the day after we air this episode. So.
Yeah.
Icewind Dale Chapter 1 goes beta.
Yay!
So you had them for an interview this past weekend.
Yes, I
weekend,
did.
They did a
fabulous job at the interview. They were very informative. Everybody was willing to jump in and talk, and kind of coached them along a little bit, saying, "Okay, you go next." You know, they're all just kind of waiting, like, "Okay, who should talk?" But you know, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
But Slow Dive, who is currently sitting in the IRC chat room and listening live, is the lead of the Icewind Dale team.
Way to go. And we'll have them on the show probably next in the next couple of episodes. Yep.
And in the news, BioWare bosses talk about the future of gaming. There's a link to the source article, which will be on the show notes, an excerpt of which I will read to you now. Speaking to a packed room during the GDC Canada keynote, BioWare founders and co-heads Dr. Greg Zestruck and Dr. Ray Mizika addressed their studio's core value, storytelling, in video games. Mizika kicked things off with a quick overview of narrative in games and BioWare's approach to putting the core game experience at the center of design and then surrounding it with story, exploration, combat, and progression. They talk about classifying narrative in games. What we're seeing nowadays is more variety and structure. Linear versus nonlinear narrative, says Zestruck. But beyond linearity and nonlinearity, there are also passive and active narratives, whether actual player choice drives the active narrative and contributes to the nonlinearity. Finally, there are internal and external narratives. For example, games can tie into social networks like Facebook or Twitter to allow players to experience narratives outside of the core game. The whole world is changing, and how we connect to it is very relevant, says Zestruck. They also mention new types of narrative. External narratives are something uniquely suited to games due to their technological focus, while other forms of narrative engender outside discussion. Games can put structure around those emergent narratives. For example, in Dragon Age, we're exporting data from player achievements and highlighting that on the community site, says Mizika. For the MMO Star Wars The Old Republic, manipulation of world server data based on a broad range of user activities can actually change the game world. On exploits being automatically published, he added, the good news is that news of your exploits can spread all over the web. The bad news is that news of your exploits can spread all over the web. Very interesting indeed. Check it out in our show notes.
Yes. I think we should all clap for Vay. Yay!
That was good. And of course, when you read the article, it's like four times as long as that. But some very interesting stuff about the future of gameplay that I think BioWare has really dialed into. And that's making sure all aspects of their games are published all over the place. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Atari has pulled out of E3.
What?
And a mere 3 weeks before the must attended mega event is set to kick off. The company told Joystick that it was a proactive decision to attend but not exhibit at this year's E3 event, and we have a link to that there. I'm not sure if they actually have anything to exhibit. I haven't seen any buzz about anything lately.
And we also got a Say to Play review from one of the winners of our episode 100 contest, Geodynamic, a.k.a. Dave. He said he got around to installing Say to Play, and he said it's working awesome. So if you want to check out the review that he found on extremetech.com, go check that out. We'll have the link in the show notes.
Yeah, I read that review earlier today. It's very very easy to understand, and it explains how it can be used, which I found interesting because somebody who may be interested in Say to Play but not really sure what they would use it for can get some very direct examples of how it can actually be useful in ways that you might not have thought about.
And that's actually a good segue into our next segment, where we're going to have Sean from Say to Play on the show. Hey, Sean.
Welcome. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Well.
So, did you know about that review that we were just talking about, Sean?
Yeah, I worked with the person who did that review. Yeah, no, that's actually posted on our we have a press page on the State of Play website.
Okay.
And actually, I want to put a link to this podcast on there.
Oh, cool! Thank you. Appreciate that.
So people can check this out. Check you guys out.
Take all of your wasted honor, every little past frustration. Take all of your so-called problems,
say what you need to say. 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 Say what you need to say.
Imagine casting spells from in-game simply by saying the name of the spell that is tied to a hotbar key, or opening the map, inventory, or character windows by simply saying map, open inventory, or open character. Well, with One Voice Communications Say-to-Play product, you can do just that. With this tool, you can add voice control to all your favorite games, use pre-built game templates, customize them, and create your own from scratch. You can use voice commands to augment your gameplay and get a competitive edge by keeping your hands on the mouse and movement keys. You don't have to memorize hundreds of key combinations to play keyboard-intensive games, and you don't have to train it to your voice either. So select the game you want to play and say to play, print the game, the command sheet, and start using the weapon of voice. So with that intro, we have with us on this episode Sean, product manager and co-designer of the ingenious software that I think will take gaming to a whole other level. He has also graciously given us some codes that we gave away in our episode 100. So welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you start out and tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
Okay. Before I do that, I'd like to thank you guys for contacting me and letting me be a part, or letting Say to Play be a part of your big 100th show. And congratulations on that. And just want to say, any way that we could help each other, I'd be more than willing to. So it's I'm a role playing gamer, so that's great for me.
Thanks. We appreciate you having you too. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you, Sean.
So I'm the product manager and for Say to Play, the weapon of voice. I made that up. The weapon of voice came to me at the El Pollo Loco drive-thru window. So, sometimes you get lucky. And, One Voice Technologies is the company, who puts the product out. And, I'm the product manager, for the product there. And I'm kind of, one of the forces, behind the idea to put the product out. One Voice already had a speech engine that they used in some other products, and I kind of brought the idea of doing something with gaming to them, and the rest is history.
Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you on the show. Welcome, Sean.
This is an awesome product. Sean, tell the Neverwinter Nights community how this will change the way we game.
All right, so Say to Play takes keyboard commands, and actually in the new version 2.0, which is I'd be happy to announce for the first time on the show, hopefully will be ready by the end of the week for download. We'll actually have mouse control as well, which for some of our disabled gaming players is a big help for them. But the idea around using voice as a input device is just a natural kind of progression of an interface for PCs. So, we've got we had the keyboard, then we had the mouse, and now you're going to have the ability to use voice as the technology has gotten better and better over the years. Now you can actually use voice. Like, I don't know if you guys have used any speech recognition products in the past, but it really hasn't been that great.
Right.
And so now the technology is so good, and the hardware that you have in your computer is so powerful that you can, without any voice control whatsoever, I mean, literally you could have yourself, your buddy, your grandfather, your son, anyone can just walk in and pick up the headset or speak into the mic, and it'll recognize, the command that you're saying. And that will, depending on what you say and how it's mapped, it'll do that, that keystroke. So, for example, you know, like Trey was saying at, in the intro, if you want to open your inventory, you can just say inventory. You know, to close the inventory, you can say close inventory. Or, you know, and that'll hit the I key on the keyboard for you without touching the keyboard. So you can just, that's what Say to Play does. It's just that extra, it's kind of like a third hand. So, you know, you can, if you've got your hands, like most gamers, they've got their hands on the movement keys on the keyboard and their other hand is on the mouse, you know, clicking on things. And this gives you an extra input device to immerse yourself in the game a little bit more.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it works cool too, because I've tried it out.
Yeah, I tried it out today as well. It does work very well. If you can, without revealing any secrets, how does the technology work?
Okay, so OneVoice has developed their speech engine over the past, I think, 8 or 9 years. They've had, you know, they've got some other products that we'll talk about later, and but they've had, you know, back in the .com days when everything was going crazy, they had a product called Ivan, which was an Internet Explorer kind of plug-in where you could kind of talk to this little guy named Ivan would pop up on your screen. It's you know, I don't know if you guys remember the, you know, the paper clip and in Microsoft Office that would bug you and pop up and tell you how to do things.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, they kind of made this guy called Ivan, which looked like a globe or you know, something like that, and he would pop up in your browser and you could actually say, you know, go to Disney.com or, you know, search for pictures of a Corvette, and it would Google, you know, Corvettes, and it would pull it up for you. So it was I'm sure there are some other products out there now that do the same thing, but this was, you know, a long, long time ago, and they were one of the first ones to come out with a voice-driven browser. And so that product kind of got put on a back burner, and the company went into some other, you know, areas of to use voice technology, uh-huh. But since they had this engine sitting there, which is actually the engine that they use is by Philips. So the guys at Philips Laboratories back in Europe somewhere, I think they're in Austria or somewhere like that. They work with them with their speech engine, which the Philips speech engine you won't really find in too many commercial products. They do a lot of stuff within the medical field, with medical dictation, I believe, and so which is very difficult. So that's why using their engine is so, you know, so good for us, because yeah. You know, when we're just putting in simple commands like, you know, like spell book or map or, you know, close map, journal, things like that. I mean, those things reco, you know, like 100%. So it works really, really good.
And I think that's what makes it, is it's just so easy to use because you don't have to train your voice.
Right, right.
I like easy to use. Well, you've got so much going on in gaming. Anything that can simplify all the multitasking, especially, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're hoping that, you know, some game developers will actually want to, you know, take a look at, you know, the Say to Play. You know, we have like a little software developers kit that's available for people that want to, you know, use some, you know, embed some speech into their application, you know, into their game. So we're hoping that, you know, I've been attending all the big shows. I go to the, you know, Game Developers Conference every year. And, you know, this year I'm going to E3 and, you know, I've gone to E4 the last couple of years and CES. And I go to, you know, since we're based in San Diego, so Comic-Con is like right down the street. So we always hit that, you know. So I've been trying to, you know, catch up with some of these, you know, game developers and say, hey, you know, check out our speech engine. You know, imagine what you could do, you know, with speech if you actually had it embedded, you know, like with Say to Play, you know, we're kind of stuck with what the developers make the key bindings. So, you know, the only thing that we can do is just map to what they've created in their key bindings. So that's the That's one of our goals, is to eventually get in a game, inside of a game.
Be part of the installation.
Right, yeah.
Awesome.
So it'd be an optional function that you could use within the game.
Exactly, exactly. And there's, if on the State of Play website, there's an embedded page which kind of talks about, you know, just some of the ideas around how you could use voice in a game other than the command and control stuff of just, you know, doing stuff in the game. You know, one of the examples I like to use is, you know, let's say you're in, you know, you're playing, you know, a game like Neverwinter Nights, and you're, you know, and, you know, part of the game is to interact with the non-player characters and to, you know, to get quests and get information and stuff like that. So let's say, you know, you hear a rumor on the internet that if you go to this, you know, this specific tavern in this remote town, and you go up to the barkeep and you ask for a specific beverage, you know, with voice, that you know, at that time, you know, at a certain time, then he gives you a special item or something like that. Or if you're just walking through a crowd and some old man sneezes and you just happen to say Gesundheit, then he turns to you and gives you a quest. Or, you know, I mean, there's like all kinds of like Easter eggs and, you know, things like that that you could do with voice, you know, that people haven't even thought about yet.
I wonder if you could use it to kick off a script. The wheels are turning.
Yeah, they are turning because we're right in the middle of a module development, a huge module, no less. Interesting.
So, hey, Sean, I remember in our phone conversation that we had when we were talking about having you on the show, you said that you've played many RPGs, including NWN1. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, I'll have to admit. So I've been, you know, gaming since back in the, you know, Commodore 64 days, back with the Ultima, you know, games, and the Zork, you know, games, and, you know, all the way, you know, up through all the, you know, the 386 and the 486 and the Pentiums. And so all the games that have come through, you know, with the, you know, the Pool of Radiance type games and the Icewind Dale games and the Elder Scroll games and the Neverwinter Nights, the first one with the expansion pack. And So yeah, I used to play D&D, you know, I guess I'm a geek, so I played D&D, you know, when I was a kid, and we played pretty hardcore. You know, there was about 12 or 15 of us, and we'd play in a church, you know, like all weekend, you know, just like 48 hours straight.
Wow.
You know,
wow. So,
sounds awesome.
We were way into it back then, so.
Yeah, how many pots of coffee?
Yeah, well, I was.
Well,
you know,
they were young, so they probably didn't need caffeine.
Oh, okay.
Probably had Mountain Dew.
All like, you know, like Twinkies and pizza and.
Oh, yeah. Sugar high, carbs.
Yeah, like Jolt, stuff like that, you know.
So, Sean, tell us in your own words, how players can use State of Play in Neverwinter Nights 2 or expansions to enhance their experience?
Actually, State of Play really, really shines in role-playing games, MMO-style games, and real-time strategy games. That's where we really can be used the best, because there's so many key bindings, you know, in these types of games. And in Neverwinter Nights 2, actually, you know, when I went and built the templates for the base game, the base content, and then the two expansion packs, you know, it fit right in with, you know, what we're trying to do with State of Play, and that, you know, most of the time you might want to just kick back in your chair, you know, have the mouse in your hand and just, you know, do everything with the mouse. And, you know, when you're, you know, you hit a big battle and then all of a sudden you're clicking, you know, all over your hot bars and you're just clicking fast and furious all over the place. And you might want to just, you know, kick off, I'm sure for the more advanced players like you guys probably will kick off a macro or something like that. I'll just, you know, take out the, you know, the person or the monster or whatever that you're fighting. But, you know, with a lot of games, you know, every battle is different. So, and you know, if you play long enough, you know exactly where certain spells are on certain hot bars and things like that. So, You know, in Neverwinter Nights, for example, you know, we were talking about earlier where in order to get to, let's say, the fifth hot bar, let's say you've got, you know, 50 spells mapped or, you know, 60 spells mapped, you know, 12 on each hot bar. In order to kick off, you know, let's say like a ice bolt or, you know, some kind of spell like that, or let's say, you know, one of the spells you start out with is Barbarian Rage if on one of the characters, you know, or heal is a basic spell. So let's say you've got that on the fifth hot bar in the fifth slot. So what you would have to do that spell in the game is using the keyboard without clicking is you'd have to do a shift 5 to get to the fifth hot bar, and then you'd have to hit 5 again to, you know, kick off the fifth slot, and then you'd have to hit shift 1 to go back to your main hot bar. Well, you know, either I suppose you could build a macro for that, or you could just, in say to play, you go in and you create a command called, you know, Barbarian Rage, which does all those keystrokes for you.
Wow.
And so you just, you know, right then, if you're, you know, if you're busy doing something else and you've got your microphone on, you just say Barbarian Rage and it's done and you're cruising right along. And you could pause the game, you know, with your voice. You could, you know, jump in and out of your journal, your character sheet, you know, just, you know, even, you know, like chatting, the chat window, let's say, in order to do a chat, you have to hit enter, you know, /, you know, then you say laugh or, you know, crying out loud or, you know, that's mm-hmm. funny or whatever, or you jerk or whatever, you know, whatever reply that you like to do. Let's say there's a reply that you always say, then you could type that into a command with your voice and you could just say, get out of here or something like that. And that will type it in for you and send it on to the people that are around you.
Wow.
That is, you know, super nifty.
Yeah.
I told you y'all would like this.
So you wouldn't have to type. I mean, a lot of times, especially with the MMO games, you know, like World of Warcraft and Warhammer Online, you know, there's so much typing and stuff that goes on. And, you know, this really can, you know, augment that or just, replace that in certain instances.
I might actually play on a PW if I could use it. Because I swear I have the hardest time remembering to click back into the bar and hitting the emote or hitting this and hitting that. And I'll just start typing rather than doing all that process first. And then if I start typing, then things start closing and opening. My character walks off by itself. It's a disaster.
And what's cool is you can build templates for your games. Of course, you know, the game comes with what? Hundreds of templates for all kinds of games, but you know, there's a default template that comes with NWN2, right, Sean? And then you can actually customize that and add in like customized commands and keystrokes, just like you were just talking about. And you can keep that saved all the time, right?
Right. And actually, I don't know if I've announced this yet, but I'd like to announce it on your show tonight. Is that, you know, this week? With my fingers crossed, you know, because I'm not the main developer. That's Ken Kubinak, our main developer. He give big shout out to Ken for all the work he's done on Say to Play. But
shouts
hopefully,
to Ken.
Yay,
yeah,
Ken.
Yes.
Hopefully, we'll get our 2.0 release out this week, which will include Neverwinter Nights 2 and both expansion packs with the templates, which are fully customizable. You could go in and create your own template from scratch if you don't, you know, or you could go in and you could copy, you know, the existing template and then just make changes, you know, get rid of commands that you don't use and you know, just, you know, go crazy with it. So, the 2.0 version will also allow you to import and export your templates. So Trey, if you, you know, build a template for, you know, a specific, like, you know, character, let's say you've got a fighter or a paladin or something like that that's all mapped out and everything, you could export that template and post it on, you know, one of your message boards and people could download it, import it right into Say to Play, and they've got everything all mapped out for them for all their, you know, all their commands.
Cool.
Wow. I'm going to be a lazy player.
It's funny, you know.
I'm going to save on my carpal tunnel.
It's funny that you say that, Shell, because that's like, you know, the thing that I think about the most is that I'm lazy.
I'm drooling over the lazy factor.
You know, I just want to kick back and I just want to use my mouse only and play the game without clicking all over the place. You know,
I can get relief from my clicking disorder.
But another advantage, though, to laziness, though, would be an advantage, which kind of takes us into the next question. So how many games can you use this product in, and how does it give a player an advantage, say, over other players who are not using it?
So I get feedback, you know, all the time from people that are using Say to Play, and they're, you know, some of them say, well, you know, I'm playing this particular game and it's awesome because I can be especially in games that are like real-time strategy games, you know, like Command and Conquer, or, you know, games like that, where you might be in one section of the map and you could be actually giving commands without going back to your home base area to, like, click on, you know, like to build more GOT units or tanks or whatever. You could actually give those commands with voice and stay at the area on the map, you know, clicking around and doing fighting or whatever. You know, so there, I've had some guys come back to me and say, you know what, I wish you all the best, you know, luck, but I'm hoping that the people I play against don't find out that I'm using Say to Play, because, you know, they have such a big advantage, you know, when they play online, when they use it. And yeah, as far as all the games, we're going to have in the 2.0 release, which, again, with my fingers crossed, will come out later this week. We've got over 200 games.
Wow.
And I get to make all the templates. So I'm the guy that gets to play all the games, at least for the first 5 or 10 minutes, and just make sure the templates are all set up correctly and are working. Everyone can email me and complain if I get something wrong. we're hoping that the community will actually make the product better. You know, this is the reason why Say to Play is, for a speech recognition product, is, you know, only $30, is because we want people, you know, we don't want it to break people's banks, and we want people to use it and enjoy it. And that's why we've made it, you know, completely 100%, you know, customizable.
That's awesome.
So we really want the community to use it and figure out, you know, different ways to use it. And I actually had a guy that's that works in the video game industry, and he uses a program called Maya, which is like a graphic design, like a 3D graphic program. And he was actually using Say to Play to do like shortcuts in Maya. You know, so you can actually use it for other things other than, you know, playing games, which is kind of cool.
Actually, you could use it for anything, couldn't you?
Yeah, anything that's mapped to a key, you know, to a keyboard command or a mouse now in 2.0, you could map to a voice command.
Yeah. So far, I've played Team Fortress 2, Battlefield 2142, and then Mask of the Betrayer, NWN2 expansion, with it so far. And in Mask of the Betrayer, I'm at the end of Mask of the Betrayer, so really the only thing I used there was the inventory and journal commands and some of the stuff that was already built into the templates that you sent us.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't get into customizing it because I'm actually trying to beat the – I'm kind of like at the end.
Right.
So hopefully when I start Storm of Zaheer, I'll add some – you know, I'll add all kinds of stuff to it. And then one night me and my buddy – got on and we played Team Fortress 2 with it. And that was awesome, man. I was just running around just saying the names of the weapons and switching between the weapons automatically. It was awesome. You know, I didn't have to worry about, oh, what number was that weapon? Oh, yeah, 3. And, you know, and then reach over there and hit it, and by then I'm dead, you know. And then Battlefield 2142 is kind of the same. It mainly used to switch weapons and things like that. I did find that in Battlefield 2142, I know you can actually use the direction. You can like say go forward or right, left, right. But I found that part a little awkward, because really you really want to use your keyboard to move like that. Because you would have to say,
exactly.
Because you would have to say forward, 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 you know, a whole bunch of times, and then you just moved a little bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. So, I mean, the reason that we put that, you know, when I put the movement keys, I know I pretty much, you know, no one's really going to use Say to Play for movement.
Right.
Other than, you know, people that are in the disabled gaming community, they might. We actually have a pretty good following of people who have figured out how to map Say to Play to, you know, to do things. So actually Say to Play in some cases, for the people who really, really want to customize it, it's actually opening or giving the opportunity for some disabled gamers to play games that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to play, which is cool for us.
I actually used it for movement myself today. It worked fairly well in Guild Wars. I just said auto run and cancel to move and moved, you know, would look around with my mouse to choose which direction I was going.
Now, I did notice in NWN2, using the left and right to pivot your character, I thought that was cool because you didn't have to actually use the keyboard to do that. You could just say left and he would pivot left. And then,
right.
And then you would hit your forward key and he would walk that way and you'd say right and then he'd turn right and you'd walk that way.
Right. And Dave, cool. Dave brings up a great point about the auto run, because that's another way to be lazy.
Exactly.
So you could just, you know, you're just cruising around with the auto run, and if you want to stop somewhere and do something, you just say, you know, stop, you know, auto toggle auto run, or, you know, whatever the command is to stop the movement. But yeah, that's another great example right there of how, you know, how the lazy people will love it.
Yeah, I was able to play for about an hour doing – the only thing I had to use the keyboard for was actually chatting. Everything else, I just had my hand on the mouse to look around.
Exactly.
Say to Play will be featured in the May 2009 issue of Game Informer magazine. How does that make you feel?
That was awesome for us. I mean, we're a super small company, and, you know – For me personally, to be like the guy that's really, you know, pushing this product out there, and I've got some help. You know, I've got Adam Fitch is another guy over at One Voice that's in the marketing department that really, you know, pushes Say to Play out there to a lot of our partners, and he's the one that got us, you know, up on the Dell. We're up on the Dell.com. Store website now, where you can actually buy Say to Play on there. So, you know, we're just now starting to get exposure, but, you know, getting in Game Informer, I mean, people don't know how big Game Informer is. Game Informer is the biggest gaming magazine on the planet, and they're bigger. They have like 3.5 million subscribers, which is bigger than like Time, Newsweek, you know, Playboy. I mean, it's
bigger than Playboy.
Yeah. It's pretty. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was amazed when I found out it was bigger than Time and Newsweek. I was like, wow.
You know, and astounded when it was bigger than Playboy.
So that was, you know, we're in there. The guy that did the review for me, the review was fair, and, he sent me some free copies. It's the if you want to check it out, it's got Assassin's Creed 2 is on the cover, and we're in the Gears.
They're coming out with
the 2? Section. Yeah, they're coming out with the Assassin's Creed 2. So if you get a chance, check it out, and you know, but ultimately, you know, I really want, you know, your listeners to download it and try it out. It's, you know, Say to Play is free to try for 7 days, fully unlocked. You know, you can customize it. You can do anything you can do with the full version for the first 7 days. You know, we just want people to try it out and give us their feedback.
I noticed One Voice has other voice products as well. Tell us about those. I saw another product called Voice Tunes.
Right. So Say to Play is actually about the third commercial product that One Voice has come out with. Their first commercial product was a Media Center Communicator. Media Center Communicator was a a voice recognition product for Media Center PCs. So basically what you could do is you could walk into your living room if you've got a Media Center PC hooked into your, you know, your television and all that stuff. You could walk in, you could say, play Hawaii Vacation Slideshow, and the slideshow would pop up on your screen. Or, you know, you could say, play artist The Beatles, and it would start playing The Beatles. Or you could pick a specific song. So similar to the stuff that, you know, that Ford is doing in the sync, you know, play artist John Mayer, you know, just, you know, things like that. You know, One Voice has been doing that for a long time. You could say, you know, if you had a complete, let's say, you know, you had a professional media room where you had a, you know, a company come in and install, you know, a controller that controlled, you know, like the temperature and the lighting and the shades and the projector. And you could, you know, basically with a voice command, you could walk into your media room, say movie time, and the shades would lower and the projector would come on and the DVD would come on and, you know, it would just do everything for you. So we showed that technology probably 4 or 5 years ago at CES in the Microsoft Future Home that they have every year there.
I actually think I remember that.
Yeah, so I actually worked in that Future Home. I don't think it was about four or five CESs ago. It was a while ago.
I think HGTV actually featured it also when they were showing the Microsoft Home.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a bunch of partners, and that was kind of a cool, you know, product. And so the whole Media Center thing never really exploded like everyone thought it was going to. And so what Microsoft did is they just took all those Media Center features and just embedded them into Vista. So if you have Vista Ultimate, you have all those Media Center features. And so the Media Center communicator product works on Vista. And so you could voice enable like your complete media library, all your movies, you know, all your, you know, pictures, you know, everything. You could even go to your computer if you have a, you know, your TV tuner, you know, plugged in where you get your cable through your computer and all that. You could say record, Seinfeld on, you know, channel, you know, 5 at 8 o'clock, and it would do it. You know, so it's pretty cool product. So if you have any enthusiasts out there that are, you know, big into Media Center, then that's a good product for them to check out. And then real quick, the other product that we have out is called Voice Tunes, which is the same type of product, which voice enables your Windows Media Player library or your iTunes library. So you could completely, you know, run your whole iTunes library with your voice.
Hear that, modders? So while you're modding, you could like sit. Play me some Muse.
Mm-hmm. And it runs in the background just like Say to Play does. So Say to Play and Voice Tunes are kind of like, you know, sister products, kind of. They're very similar. Other than the fact that, you know, Voice Tunes just works with, you know, your audio files.
Right.
We actually have a handful of community questions if you're willing to take the time.
Sure.
Okay, well, I have them all logged on Notepad here.
Okay, cool.
And from Ree, our resident artist, question to Sean, would it be possible to customize Say to Play to work with software such as 3D Studio Max and ZBrush?
Yes. Kind of talked about that earlier with the guy that was using it for Maya, which is another 3D, you know, product. But, yes, any like 3D Studio Max, I'm sure, has, you know, tons of keyboard, you know, shortcut keys and key combinations. And that's where Say to Play works really, really good, because who wants to do a, you know, a control shift F4 right in the middle of battle or right in the middle of working on, you know, some type of project, you know? So Say to Play works really good for all the different key combinations and things like that.
From GQ, who does our news, by the way, what is the reaction speed time for first-person competition games?
Right, so the FPS games, you know, if you're playing, you know, if you're playing Call of Duty, or if you're playing Counter-Strike, or if you're playing like a Far Cry, you know, any of these games that are just super, you know, everything is based on precision. You're playing Crysis, you know, games like that. really where you'd use it is, you know, to do a reload or to change weapons or, you know, do things like that. Because most of the time in those games, it's everything is so intense. One hand is going to be on the movement keys, you know, stuck, and the other hand is on the mouse, you know, handling all the shooting and stuff like that. So say to play commands take, a quarter of a second to happen. So if you're fast on the keyboard, you'll be quicker with your fingers than you would with, you know, saying a command and having it, you know, be done. But if you're in a situation where you've got some downtime, or if you're just too busy to take your fingers off of the movement keys and then press the number key that corresponds to the weapon you want to change to, then that's where Say to Play really helps. And it is pretty fast too. I mean, it's definitely not slow to use Say to Play, especially when you make your commands short. So, if you have a command like rifle, you know, or a grenade or something that's very specific and a short command, then it'll execute that command faster.
Right. GQ also asks what type of overhead is being added to the system. And isn't the software like flash based? I thought I read
right,
that somewhere.
Right. So when you first open Say to Play, you get to a screen what we call the game flow screen, which is a flash screen which has all the game art on it. And that takes up a bunch of memory because flash is not the most efficient, you know, interface to use, but it looks really cool. So we wanted to keep it. So that lets you scroll through all the games. And as you scroll through the games, you know, each JPEG that's in there takes a little bit of memory. So your memory jumps up to, you know, like 300 meg of memory, when you're using the game flow, screen. But as soon as you click on a game and actually, you know, double click on a game and open up the game detail page, which also loads that template, then the memory, drops way down. Usually it's around 120 meg of memory, something like that, depending on how big the template is that's loaded and how many commands are in there, that we're listening for. I haven't heard any complaints out there, which is actually kind of weird. I figured I would get some complaints about, you know, because people, especially gamers, I mean, gamers will modify and look at every little detail on their video card, on their frames per second, you know, on their network card, you know, what their ping times are, and, you know, I mean, just every little thing they'll want to optimize and overclock and everything else. And luckily, so far, we haven't gotten any complaints on overhead. So
yeah, that was my experience when I was shuffling through all the games and looking at what was available. Every once in a while, there would be a lag when you were shuffling through there. But then, like you said, once you chose the game and it was set as your default, and then I didn't notice any frames being lost or anything during the game.
Right, and actually, one of the features in the new release 2.0 is we've got an add, remove, or show, hide game option in the options window. Uh-huh. And so you can actually go in there and just get rid of or hide any of the game titles you just don't want to show up on the game flow window, which will take care of that. So,
I just thought of another question. So if you purchase the full product, how many upgrades do you get? Is that endless or...
Definitely for 2.0, we're going to, all the people that previously bought Say to Play are going to get a free upgrade to 2.0. Not sure, moving forward once we get to the 3.0, but it's been going on maybe 9 months since we put out the 1.0 product.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, if we do a new version once per year, we would probably have an upgrade price. I mean, the whole thing of, you know, the thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to get the product out to as many people as we can, you know, and so that's why we're keeping the price low, and we're working with people on, you know, support, and we're definitely looking for feedback. We want the community to tell us what they want. You know, how can we make the product better? You know, that's really what we want.
Cool.
Eight to Surf asks, how many macros can we set up?
I don't think there's a limit. I haven't run into, I mean, I haven't run into any limits. If he finds a limit, please let me know.
And he has one more question. Can a user make his own template?
Absolutely. Yes. We have one of, when you're scrolling through the game flow window with all the box art from all the different titles, you're going to come across one called Custom Game, and which just has the Say to Play logo on it. And when you click on that one, and you go to customize that one, that's a blank template. So you could start from scratch right there. But I recommend, you know, loading up a template that's similar to the game that you want to play, and then customizing that one, because that'll give you a big head start.
I know why he's asking that, because I think he wants to create one for NWN 1.
Okay.
So probably the suggestion would be to grab the NWN 2 template and modify it.
Exactly.
Right. And lastly, Ree had a comment. He said they should make an online database where people can upload their blueprints.
Yeah, we talked about that. We're just...
Oh, did I miss that? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but I mean,
oh, okay.
I talked about it with Ken. You know, we're always brainstorming on what we can, add in and make cool and stuff like that. So that was one of the things that we talked about is, having like a place where everyone could like upload their templates and put some details about it. So the 2.0, version will be the first version where we have that feature, the import-export feature. So we'll just have to, grow it from there.
Well, you could also use a forum thread where people could post them as well, couldn't you?
Exactly. And we have a forum set up, that I could possibly allow people to upload, attachments to it. And so I just gotta set that up.
Thanks, Sean, for coming on the show and of course, helping us with the contest. And hopefully we'll do our part to spread the word a little more about your awesome product. And is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
No, just thanks for letting me ramble on. You can tell I've had lots of practice with my blurbs here. Every single gaming show that I can get to in either in Vegas or in LA, I try to hit, and I just I walk around and I talk to anyone who will listen. So
wow,
thanks for listening.
And also Sean gave us actually the templates for NWN2, OC Master and Storm of the Hears. So if anybody wants to try those out actually before the 2.0 release comes out, because I guess they'll be in that one. Let us know, and I can send those to you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, thanks, Sean.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes, that was very awesome.
Wow, man, that was awesome. I mean, that was like a Jedi moment.
Now, you thought I fell asleep? I was just listening intently.
I actually asked him a few times during the interview if he was asleep, because I knew he was verging on it to begin with.
You sound sleepy too, Michelle.
I sound sleepy?
A little bit.
Really? Maybe. You know what? I took allergy medicine. It's probably the antihistamine. And by the way, I had a choice between me sounding a little sleepy or me sounding snotty. I chose the sleepy. Unlike you, Trey, who likes to sniffle through the show.
Well, you do the all the time.
It's because of the allergies. I've been actually muting during that.
So, hey, we're going to start the summer schedule here pretty soon. In June, we're going to go to bi-weekly.
Yes.
And I think we put a post in the forums about that. Michelle did. Summer's coming, and everybody's out, and it's getting nice and warm, and so we're going to go to every other week for a while.
I want to go swimming more often, if it ever warms up enough.
So I know everybody's crying out there that they won't be able to hear us every week. But
the slow dive says cool.
I guess he's getting tired of here listening to us.
I don't know.
I would get tired of listening to me.
Oh, I think they're talking about something else.
Maybe oh, okay. No. We also got some text messages on Skype. The reason he didn't text was probably because I didn't have the voicemail up and running. Shame on me. Anyway, Peter the Gray, a.k.a. Peter the Wanderer, he says that he was originally from Belgium, but has been living in Oregon since 2001, and he's been playing NWN since it came out, and has been following the podcast since day one. So shout out there to Peter.
Awesome. Yay, Peter.
Yeah.
I started listening in 10, but I caught up.
That's what I tend to do with just about any podcast. If I like it, I'll go back and listen to the backlog. And
yep, I did too.
I started listening at 0.1.
you started so before funny. The podcast did, Trey.
And speaking of voicemail, I'm actually looking at getting us a listener call-in number. So I'll have more information on that later. I actually started looking at that a little bit before the show tonight. And the only thing I didn't like about it is we would have to get a number, the free one that I found, we'd have to get a number that's based in Washington State. So if you called it, it would be long distance from anywhere else, except Washington, of course. I guess if you called it from your cell phone, it wouldn't be.
A lot of people with landlines have unlimited long distance now.
That's
too.
True.
I have cable phones, so.
So you think that'd be okay to have a number like that?
Why do you have to get it in Washington? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's where the company is based, and they give out the numbers that they can give out. Have to be where their area code is.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking of the Skype in, Skype out thing.
Well, that that would cost us if I did that.
$30-some a year.
Well, I might try this number. That way you won't have to have Skype.
Yeah, I don't have any long-distance charges, so it wouldn't matter to me. And I think most everybody has gone that route at this point.
All right, cool. Well, then we might try it. It'll be like a 206 number that they'll give us.
It can't hurt.
If anybody's interested, it's k7.net is where I'm going to probably sign up and see if I can get that for us.
And maybe listeners have suggestions for someplace else where, you know, that wouldn't be long distance.
I was also going to say, though, since it is free, you have to have somebody call in at least every 30 days or they give your number away to somebody else.
Wouldn't that be terrible if you got your number given away?
And so we would have to make sure at least one of us call in every 3 weeks.
I'll take that job. That's easy. I'll do it.
Hello, hello, this is me again.
Don't give our number away. We love it. And on our forums, Trey created a post informing the community that this is a community podcast. If anybody out there wants to conduct an interview, give us some news, anything like that, anything that pertains to that, feel free to do so. This is a community podcast. We do this for free. And, well, you know what? The more the community contributes, even the better. It even gives us that much more flavor, that much more excitement, and that much more involvement in the community.
Yeah. I mean, that was our vision when we started this thing, was it was for the community by the community. If you remember, that was our tagline for a while.
Yes, I do.
I do remember that.
So, please. And what prompted me to put that out there is FFBJ left a comment on the last episode. Where he suggested somebody that we should interview that he actually knew and, you know, I was familiar with from what I took from the comment. Hopefully I took that right. And I suggested, well, hey, I know you have a mic. You've been interviewed before on our podcast, so go for it. Interview them, and we'll put it on the show, you know, as long as you don't, you know, you're not farting and all that stuff and saying bad words. We'll do it. You know, and if you want one of us to come help you and it works into our schedule, let us know. We'll try.
Yeah, I have no life. It's pretty easy to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trey just agrees.
What? Who? Trey just agrees.
Yeah. I say I have no life. I'm easy to get a hold of. And Trey goes, yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I thought you were reading IRC chat. No, that's not what I was saying yeah to. I was going with the flow of the conversation, like adding a thought. Like, yeah, here's another thought. Goober.
Oh, and Neverwinter Nights podcast is too cool. We have Facebook.
Yeah, but we have 23 fans now. I guess last week we had 21. We got two more.
You're not making extra accounts, are you?
Nope. Jeff Hildebrand. Hey, Jeff Hildebrand from Tucson, Arizona. Welcome, Jeff, to our fan. And then we also got another fan from Finland, Maria Lane. So
nifty.
Thank you, Maria.
Yes, thank you, Maria.
Shout out to you, all you fans over on Facebook. And also, I might want to say the last one that I read last week, Paul J. Hume. Y'all know who that is?
No.
Fester Pot.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the thing about the Facebook is so many are real names that it's hard to tell who's who.
Oh, yeah.
So, anybody in the chat room have anything they want to shout out?
Cranium Fool never visits us anymore.
He hasn't been in the chat room for like two weeks now.
He's over in the other one right now.
Well, he's always over there.
I know. He doesn't love us anymore.
I guess not. So I guess no comments from the rest of the world.
I guess not. We put him to sleep.
Next week we have Slow Dive and the Icewind Dale team. And just a reminder, it has gone in beta. The link will be in the show notes. So go in there, play it, test it out, and help them out with some feedback. Until next time.
Get in game.
And level up!
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
I'm Alice Vander, a.k.a. Luke Skull, and I'm lead designer with Ossian Studios.
Code Poets, also known as Kevin Smith, lead technical designer.
This is Alan Miranda, CEO of Ossian Studios and producer on Mysteries of Westgate, and we are live. Join us at ossianstudios.com.
too much than never to say what you need to say again. Even if your hands are shaking and your faith is broken, even as your eyes are closing, do it with a heart wide open. Say what you need to say.